I want our deacons that are going to serve us the supper. Gentlemen, would you all go ahead and make your way to the front? And as I'm sharing these words, would you guys go ahead and uncover our table, and then you can be seated and in your positions. And as these men are coming, I want to direct your attention to the New Testament again, to our verse of Scripture that was our memory verse. 1 Corinthians, will you turn there with me? We're in chapter 11. We're in verse 11, to verse 23 through 26. Gentlemen, you go ahead and uncover the table. That's fine. And while I'm sharing with everyone. And as they're doing this, I want to center on one verse. It's the last verse. But I want to read you that whole little few verses right there about what Paul says to the church at Corinth. And listen, he says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also passed on to you, that the same night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and he said, 'This cup is the new covenant established in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And then here's the verse. Here's our sole central verse for this morning as we come to this table. "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death." And what's the last three words of that, folks? "Until he comes." And that's what I want to talk to you about as we come to this table, of what it means. The first word in your outline is "until." And folks, we are living in that "until" right now. Lord hadn't come back yet. But as I told you a couple weeks ago, the next thing on God's future calendar, God's eschatological calendar, is the glorious appearing. That is the second coming of Christ. But before that, the Bible says something else is going to take place. And all the signs of the Scripture point to that second coming. But before that, and there are no signs that point to that in the Scripture, is the rapture of the church. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus will come as a thief in the night to take his church out. And you know, folks, this could be the day. Somebody texted me last week based on that sermon and said, "Even so, come Lord Jesus." I text them back, "Come quickly, hurry up, come home, Lord Jesus, or come get your people." And folks, but we're living in that until part. And while we're living in this until part, the Bible says you and I need to be watchful, vigilant. We need to watch what's going on around us. Keep our eyes open. Make sure we know. If the Bible says, which the Bible does say, that the Lord will come as a thief in the night, he's telling you the truth. He will come as a thief in the night. But not only do we watch, we continue to work. Bible says we don't give up, give out, or quit. We keep working until. Until. We watch, we work. And the third thing we do is witness. That word "witness" in the Greek language is, we pronounce it matureo. That's the verb to witness. Maturia is the Greek word for witness, but it's the Greek word for martyr. Maturia actually sounds like martyr, doesn't it? It means one that is willing to die for his faith. And folks, most of us in this room have not been put on trial for our faith in terms of a death sentence. But I believe the longer we live and the years go by, one day, even these United States will be under such persecution is that we may be very well called upon to give our life for our faith. But we are to be a witness until. We're living in the until. And then that second of the three words at the end of verse 23, "he." Until he. And so I went back in Scripture for a minute and just gathered up some names for he, that is, for Jesus. Went back to Revelation 1 and found out he's the Alpha and the Omega. Went back to Revelation 5, he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. To Psalm 2, he's the Anointed One. To Revelation 19, he's the Lord of Lords. To Acts 3, he's the Author of Life. In John 1:1, he's the Word. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he's the mighty God. In Zechariah chapter 6, he's the branch. In Matthew chapter 2, he's the Nazarene. In Revelation 22, he's the bright morning star. In Isaiah chapter 9, he's the Prince of Peace. And in John chapter 1, he is the Rabbi. In 2 Peter, he is Daystar. In Revelation, he is the Root of David. In Isaiah and in John 10, he's the Root of Jesse. And in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is the Son of David. And in John chapter 10, he's the Good Shepherd. And in Mark chapter 1, he's the Son of God. And in Acts chapter 3, he's the Holy and Righteous One. And in Matthew 8, he's the Son of Man. And in John 15, he's the true vine. In Isaiah 7, he's Emmanuel, God with us. And in Isaiah 9, he's Wonderful Counselor. In Matthew 1, he is the Christ. In Revelation 19, he's the King of Kings. And in Revelation 5, he's the Lamb of God. In Revelation 19, he's the Word of God. In John chapter 1, he's the Lamb of God. And in John chapter 8, Jesus Christ, he's the great I am. That is who he is. And that's just a few of his names. I get all excited when I read stuff like that. And then there's a third word before we come to this table. Until he what? Comes. I remember the last words of God found in Revelation 22. It says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. There's not a one of you sitting here that wouldn't say, come on. People say, you getting up a boatload? Folks, I'm getting up a world load. To be ready. And then that last verse of 21, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Folks, he's coming. He's coming. And that's his promise. So come to this table this morning, not because you must, but because you may. Come not to testify of your own personal righteousness, but that you sincerely love the Lord Jesus Christ and you desire to be his true disciple. Come to this table not because your goodness gives you any right to come, but because in your frailty and in our sin, we stand in need of heaven's mercy. Come because you love the Lord a little, but you want to love him more. Come because he loves you and gave himself for you. So lift up your hearts, church, above your cares and above your fears. And let this bread, this fruit of the vine, be a remembrance of God's grace to you and a pledge of your love to the Lord Christ. Receive the love of God and consecrate your life afresh to Christian obedience and service and discover and do the will of God in humble faith. That's how you come to this table. Let's pray. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge that my transgression and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in my inward parts. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. So, Lord, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sin, O God, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Our deacons have the privilege of coming and serving this bread. And when the disciples gathered together like we are right now, the Bible says that Jesus literally took bread. And remember, he said he picked up that bread that was around the table and he broke it. He just a matzah bread, much the same that you're going to partake of in a minute. And he broke it and he said, "This is my body which will be broken for you. Eat in remembrance of me." And then Paul gave us that command a few minutes ago when we read it in 1 Corinthians. He said, "Bless this bread. Ask God's blessings on it. And then you men, our deacons, servant, the diakonos, serve you all. And then we all partake of this meal together." Such incredible symbol, folks, that the body of Jesus Christ was broken for you and for me.